Welcome back to Amelia Earhart. We're now going to continue talking, like I said in the last episode, about the crash and sink theory. Many researchers believe that Earhart and Noonan ran out of fuel while searching for Howland Island, ditched at sea, and died. The plane would have carried enough fuel to reach Howland with some extra to spare. The extra fuel would cover some contingencies, such as high winds and searching for Howland. The plane would fly a compass course toward Howland through the night. In the morning, the time of apparent sunrise would allow the plane to determine its line of position. From that line, the plane could determine how much further it must travel before reaching a parallel sunline that ran through Howland. At 6:14 Itasca time, Earhart estimated they were 200 miles away from Howland. As the plane closed with Howland, it expected to be in radio contact with Itasca. With the radio contact, the plane should be able to use radio direction finding to head directly for the Itasca and Howland. Unfortunately, the plane was not receiving a radio signal from Itasca, so it would be unable to determine an RDF bearing to the ship. Although Itasca was receiving HF radio signals from the plane, it did not have HF RDF equipment, so it could not determine a bearing to the plane. The communications going to the plane were almost non-existent. Consequently, the plane was not directed to Howland. It was left on its own with position at 7:42 a.m. Earhart reported, "We must be on you, but cannot see you, but gas is running low. Have been unable to reach you by radio. We are flying at 1,000 feet. At 8:43 a.m., Earhart reported, "We are on the line 157337. We will repeat this message. We will repeat this on 6210 kilocycles. Wait." Between Earhart's low on fuel message at 7:42 a.m. and her last confirmed message at 8:43, her signal strength remained consistent, indicating that she never left the Howland Island immediate area, or that she had the fuel to go do so. The U.S. Coast Guard made this determination by tracking her signal strength as she approached the island and noting signal levels from her reports of determination by tracking her signal, her level reports of 200 and 100 miles out. These reports were roughly 30 minutes apart, providing vital ground speed clues. Based on these facts and the lack of additional signals from Amelia, the Coast Guard first responders initiating the search, it concluded that she ran out of fuel somewhere very close and north of Howland. Captain Lawrence Safford, who was responsible for the interwar Mid-Pacific Strategic Direction Finding Net and the decoding of the Japanese Purple Cipher messages for the attack on Pearl Harbor, began a lengthy analysis of the Earhart flight during the 1970s. His research included the intra-radio transmission documentation. Safford came to the conclusion, poor planning, worse execution. Rear Admiral Richard R. Black, who was in administrative charge of the Howland Island airstrip and was present in the radio room on the Itasca, asserted in 1982 that the Electrica went into the sea about 10 a.m. July 2, 1937, not far from Howland. British aviation historian Roy Nesbitt interpreted evidence in contemporary accounts and Putnam's correspondence and included Earhart's Electra was not fully fueled at Ley. William L. Polamis, the navigator on Anne Pilgrim's 1967 flight that followed Earhart and Noonan's original flight path, studied navigation tables for July 2, 1937, and thought Noonan may have miscalculated the signal line approach intent to hit Howland. Gardner Island Hypothesis. The Gardner Island, or Nukumarowo, hypothesis assumes that Earhart and Noonan, having not found Howland Island, would not waste time searching for Howland. Instead, they would turn to the south and look for others. The 157-337 radio transmission suggests that they flew a course of 157 degrees that would take them past Baker Island. If they missed Baker, then sometime later they would fly over the Phoenix Islands, now part of the Republic of Kiribati, about 350 nautical miles southeast of Howland Island. The Gardner Island hypothesis has the plane making it to the Gardner Island, one of the Phoenix Islands. A week after Amelia disappeared, Navy planes from USS Colorado, which had sailed from Pearl Harbor, searched Gardner Island. The planes saw signs of recent habitation and the November 1929 wreck of the SS Norwich City, but did not see any signs of Earhart's plane or people. After the Navy ended its search, G.P. Putnam undertook a search in the Phoenix Group and other islands, but nothing was found. In October 1937, Eric Bevington and Henry Maud visited Gardner with some potential settlers. A group walked all the way around the island, but did not find a plane or other evidence. During the visit, Bevington took a picture of the SS Norwich City wreck. In 2010, Jeff Glickman or other evidence during the visit, Bevington took a picture. Jeff Glickman, an expert in image processing, claimed that a small portion of a 75-year-old picture showed what looked like landing gear sticking out of the water. A 2019 search for the island suggests that the subject in the photo resembles local rocks. In December 1938, laborers landed on the island and started constructing the settlement. Around April 1940, a skull was discovered and buried, but British colonel officer Gerald Gollard did not learn of it until September. Gollard did a more thorough search for the discovery area, including looking for artifacts such as rings. The search for more bones, a bottle, a shoe, and a sextant box. On September 23, 1940, Gallen radioed his superiors that he had found a skeleton, possibly that of a woman, along with the old-fashioned sextant box, under a tree at the island's southeast corner. He stated, "The bones look more than 4 years old to me, but there seems to be very slight chance that this may be the remains of Amelia Earhart." He was ordered to send the remains to Fiji. On April 4, 1941, Dr. D.W. Hoodless of the Central Medical School examined the bones, took measurements, and wrote a report using Carl Pearson's formulas for stature and length of the femur, tibia, and humerus. Hoodless concluded that the person was about 5 feet, 5.5 inches tall. Hoodless wrote that the skeleton could be that of a short, stocky, muscular European, or even a half-caste or person of mixed European descent. However, Amelia's 1930 pilot's license states she was 5 feet and 8 inches and 110 pounds. Hoodless also wrote, "It may be definitely stated that the skeleton is that of a male. Emphasis in original. Hollis further stated, owing to the weather-beaten condition of all the bones, it is possible to be dogmatic in the regard of the age and the person at the time of death. But I am of the opinion that he was not less than 45 years of age, and that probably he was older, say between 45 and 55 years. Amelia was 39 years and 11 months when she disappeared. Hollis offered to make more detailed measurements if needed, but suggested any further examination to be done by anthropological department at Sydney University. These bones were misplaced in Fiji long ago and cannot be re-examined. Next, we have the Japanese capture theory. Another theory is that Earhart and Noonan were captured by Japanese forces, perhaps after somehow navigating to somewhere within the Japanese South Seas Mandate. In 1966, CBS correspondent Fred Gorner published a book claiming that Earhart and Noonan were captured and executed when their aircraft crashed on the island of Saipan, part of the Northern Mariana Islands archipelago. Saipan is more than 2,700 miles away from Howland Island. However, later proponents of the Japanese capture hypothesis have generally suggested that Marshall Islands instead, which, while still distant from the intended location, is slightly more possible. In 1990, the NBC series Unsolved Mysteries broadcasted an interview with a Saipanese woman who claimed to have witnessed Earhart and Noonan's execution by Japanese soldiers. No independent confirmation has been emerged for any of these claims. Various purported photographs of Earhart during her captivity have been identified as either fraudulent or have been taken before her final flight. A slightly different version of the Japanese capture hypothesis is that not the Japanese captured Earhart, but rather that they shot her plane down. Henry Kaiser Andre, a former Pan Am pilot, propounded this view in his 1933 book of Age of Heroes, Incredible Adventures of a Pan Am Pilot and the Greatest Triumph, Unraveling the Mystery of Amelia Earhart. Since the end of World War II, a location on Tinian, which is 5 miles southwest of Saipan, has been rumored to be the grave of the two aviators. In 2004, an archaeological dig at the site failed to turn up any bones. A recent proponent of this theory is Mike Campbell, who published the 2012 book Amelia Earhart, The Truth at the Last in its favor. Campbell cites claims from Marshall Islanders to have witnessed a crash, as well as a U.S. Army surgeon who found a suspicious gravesite near a former Japanese prison on Saipan. A number of Earhart's relatives have been convinced that the Japanese were somehow involved in Amelia's disappearance, citing unnamed witnesses including Japanese troops and Saipan natives. According to one cousin, the Japanese cut the Lockheed Electra into scrap and threw the pieces into the ocean to explain why the airplane was not found in the Marshall Islands. In 2017, a History Channel documentary, Amelia Earhart, The Lost Evidence, proposed that a photograph in the National Archives of Jailulu Atoll in the Marshall Islands was actually a picture of a captured Earhart and Noonan. The picture showed a Caucasian male on a dock who appeared to look like Noonan and a woman sitting on the dock but facing away from the camera, who was judged to have a physique and haircut resembling Earhart's. The documentary theories that the photo was taken after Amelia and Noonan were crashed at Millie Altoy. The documentary also said the physical evidence recovered from Millie matches pieces that could have fallen off of Electra during a crash or subsequent overload move to a barge. The lost evidence proposed that a Japanese ship seen in the photograph was the Koshimaru, a Japanese military ship. The lost evidence was quickly discredited, however, after Japanese blogger Kota Yamano found the original source of the photograph in the archives in the National Diet Library Digital Collection. The original source of the photo was a Japanese traveling guide published in October 1935, implying that the photograph was taken in 1935 or before, and thus to be unrelated to Earhart and Noonan's 1937 disappearance. A common criticism of the versions of the Japanese capture hypothesis is that the Japanese-controlled Marshall Islands were considerably distant from Howland Island. To reach and land there would have required Earhart and Noonan, though low on fuel, to change her northeast course as she neared Howland and fly miles, hundreds of miles, northwest. A feat not supported by the basic rules of geography and navigation. Additionally, had the Japanese found a crashed Earhart and Noonan, they would have subsequently motivation to rescue the famous aviators and hailed as heroes. Myths, legends, and claims. The unresolved circumstances of Earhart's disappearance, along with her fame, attracted a great body of other claims relating to her last flight. Several unsupported theories have become known in popular culture. Spies. The World War II era movie Flight for Freedom, 1943, is a story of a fictional female aviator, obviously inspired by Amelia, who engages in a spying mission in the Pacific. The movie helped further a myth that Earhart was spying on the Japanese in the Pacific at the request of Franklin D. Roosevelt administration. By 1949, both the United Press and U.S. Army intelligence had concluded that this rumor was groundless. Jackie Crochan, another pioneer aviator and one of Amelia's friends, made a post where search of numerous flies in Japan and was convinced that the Japanese were not involved in Amelia's disappearance. A Tokyo Rose. A rumor that Amelia had made propaganda radio broadcasts as one of the many women compelled to serve as Tokyo Rose was investigated closely by George Putnam, which was his wife. According to the several biographies of Earhart, Putnam investigated this rumor personally, but after listening to many recordings of numerous Tokyo Roses, he did not recognize her voice among them. Next, we have New Britain. The theory that Amelia may have turned back mid-flight has been posited. She would have been tried to reach the airfield at Rabaul, New Britain, approximately 2,200 miles away from Howland. In 1990, Donald Anguin, a veteran of the Australian Army's World War II campaign in New Britain, contacted researchers to suggest that a wrecked aircraft he had witnessed in jungle about 40 miles southwest of Rabaul on April 17, 1945, may have been Earhart's Electra. Anguin, who had been a corporal in the 11th Battalion at the time, reported that he and other members of a forward patrol on Japanese occurred New Britain had found a wreckage twin-engined, unpainted, all-metal aircraft. The soldiers recorded a rough position on a map, along with serial numbers seen on the wreckage. The map was found in the possession of another veteran in 1993, but subsequent searches of the area indicated failed to find a wreck. Angwin died in 2001. David Billings, an Australian aircraft engineer, has continued to investigate his theory. Billings claimed that the serial numbers written on the map represent a 600 horsepower model engine and constructor's number 1055, an airframe identifier. These would be consistent with a Lockheed Electra 10E, such as that flown by Earhart. Although they do not contain enough information to provide to identify the wreck in question as NR-16-020. Assuming another identity. In November 2006, the National Geographic Channel aired episode 2 of the Undiscovered History series about a claim that Amelia survived the world flight, moved to New Jersey, changed her name, remarried, and became Irene Craigmile Blolem. Wow. Okay. This claim had originally been raised in the book Amelia Earhart Lives, 1970, by author Joe Klass. Based on the research of Major Joseph Jervis, Irene Blolem, who had been a banker in New York during the 1940s, denied being Earhart, filed a lawsuit requesting $1.5 million in damages, and submitted a lengthy affidavit in which she refuted the claims. What? The book's publisher, McGraw-Hill, withdrew the book from the market shortly after it was released, and court records indicate that the company reached out of court settlement with her. Of course they did. Why wouldn't they? Subsequently, Blolem's personal life history was thoroughly documented by researchers, eliminating any possibilities that she was Earhart. Kevin Richland, a professional criminal forensic expert, hired National Geographic, studied photographs of both women and said in many measurable facial differences between Earhart and Blolem. Earhart had a widely known international celebrity during her lifetime. Her shyly charismatic appeal, independence, persistence, coolness under pressure, courage, and goal-oriented career. Please wait for the ad to finish. Because no one wants to help me out here. Please wait, peoples. Thanks. So, her goal-oriented career, along with the circumstances of her disappearance at a comparatively early age, have driven her long-lasting fame in popular culture. Hundreds of articles and scores of books have been written about her life, which is often cited as a motivational tale, especially for girls. Earhart is generally regarded as a feminist icon. Two notable memorable flights by female aviators subsequently followed Earhart's original route. I don't believe any of them made it, to be honest with you. But that is the end of Amelia. So, what do you guys think? Think she was kidnapped? Think she died? Or do you think she went to go live a new life? I mean, why would she run away from all that fame? She was literally, like, the first female pilot. And everybody knew who she was. I don't know, maybe she got bored of it. But her dream was her aircraft, so. I don't know. Well, let me know what you guys think. And that's the end of Amelia Earhart.